Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Leanne Timon. She is a Hall of Fame speaker, author, and nurse. Leanne is here to talk about her latest collaborative endeavor with Chicken Soup for the Soul, titled Inspiration for Nurses, 101 Stories of Appreciation and Wisdom. Good morning, Leanne. Welcome back to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you. It's great to be back.
Fantastic. It is always a pleasure to have you on the air with me. Chicken Soup for the Soul, Inspiration for Nurses is a great, heartfelt read. The stories are truly inspirational, so congratulations in getting the book out.
Thank you very much. It was certainly my privilege to read all of those stories and to help publish them for those wonderful nurses.
Fantastic. Let us get started by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment. And this is for the people that have not heard from you before. It would be a great idea to know who you really are.
Well, thank you. It's a pretty simple story, at least at the beginning, because I was raised on a farm in Iowa, one of eight children. And that's a big part of who I am. I think I still cling a lot to my Iowa roots and some of those values and traditions. And I went to nursing school, graduated from nursing school, and began my work in Iowa. Then after I was married, we had two birth daughters. And probably the thing that was most significantly that changed my life after my wedding was and the birth of our children was, for our third child, we had applied for adoption through an organization called Friends of Children of Vietnam. And during that process, I became a volunteer to help raise funds and supplies to send to the war orphans in Vietnam. And we had an Iowa chapter. And actually, from my basement, we shipped 5 tons of supplies to orphanages in Vietnam in just 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that's when the organization asked if I would help escort 6 babies back to their adoptive homes in the United States. Now, our baby wasn't due for another 2 to 3 years. We were still in that whole application process, which was very laborious and so forth. But I still thought it would mean something to our son to know that I'd been there at some point in time and someone else would escort my son in a few years. So I agreed to go to Vietnam and escort 6 babies back. Between the time I had agreed to go and the day that I got there, there was a tremendous increase in the war that no one had expected. And when I arrived, there was bombing within 1 mile of Saigon. And when I got off the plane, I was greeted by the director who said, "You won't help us take out 6 babies, you'll help us take out 300, because President Gerald Ford just okayed Operation Baby Lift."
Mm-hmm.
And so for the 5 days I was in Vietnam, it was we just had hundreds and hundreds of babies being delivered to our orphanage center. And on the 5th day, we loaded up hundreds of babies. And there's pictures on my website of babies in open cardboard boxes strapped in the belly of a gutted cargo jet and got them out of Vietnam. But the most significant part of that adventure was on the 3rd day I was there, I was told I could walk in to a room of 100 babies and choose a son. And in the midst of that chaos, I didn't have to choose him after all, because a little 9-month-old little boy was standing next to a crib. He took one look at me, crawled right over to me. And I often say he crawled into my arms, my heart, and our family. And we had our son. So we went about raising our 3 children, and when Mitch, our little boy, was a senior in high school, I knew it was time to tell his story, so I wrote the book, This Must Be My Brother, telling the story of Operation Baby Lift.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what catapulted me then into a full-time speaking and writing a career. Once I did that, people started wanting to hire me to speak on lessons I learned from Operation Baby Lift, and the nurses' organizations to which I was a part of were thrilled with my having written the book, and I began asking me to speak at their organizations, and that launched my current career of being a writer and a speaker.
Fantastic. It's amazing about how each of our life's journey take off on its own. It's not necessarily pre-planned by us. It's sort of got into this rhythm of life, so to speak. It takes us where it needs to go. In your case, it's a beautiful journey.
Oh, my gosh, it certainly is. It's, as you said, Donnie, that was something I never, ever would have planned for my own life. I never would have dreamed of doing something as fantastic as that. And then to have it lead to such a change in my life after raising my children, and I was always a part-time nurse and a full-time mom, and I thought we were going to settle into our empty nest, and God bless my husband, instead of our quiet little empty nest time, I have a second career.
Fantastic. How did your partnership with Chicken Soup come about?
Well, my story about getting our son, we wrote and put in Chicken Soup for the Mother's Soul. And I still remember the day they called and said my story was going to be in the book, and I was dancing around my kitchen, just squealing and clapping and so delighted. I couldn't imagine anything greater that could ever happen to me than to have my story in a Chicken Soup book. And by then, I loved writing stories. I was a nurse, so I didn't know how to write, so I had taken every kind of writing class and course and mentorship and workshop and writers groups and read the books and learned finally how to write a true personal story. And then I was on fire. Everywhere I was, people would tell me stories, I would write them and send them to Chicken Soup. Yeah. And somehow that was a nut I had learned to crack. My stories were in 6 or 8 or 10 different Chicken Soup for the Soul books because I just loved writing other people's stories. Right. But I was still shocked on the day that Jack Canfield's office called and asked if I would be the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Nurse's Soul and to write that book with him, because I was, by that time, I was speaking to nursing organizations. And so I read 2,000 stories and wrote Chicken Soup for the Nurse's Soul, the first edition, in the year 2000. And on its own, that just shocked everybody, I think, because I was speaking to nurses, that book hit number 17 on the New York Times bestselling list.
Yeah.
And so then Chicken Soup asked me what other books I'd like to write, and so I've written 13 more.
Fantastic. Congratulations on that. Why did you decide to write Chicken Soup for the Soul, Inspiration for Nurses?
Well, this is the third edition of a Chicken Soup book for nurses. We did one in 2000, another one in 2005, and I loved it when Chicken Soup called and asked if I would do the third edition. This even has even more updated stories about hospital care today, which has changed in the last 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. And the reason we called it Inspiration for Nurses is it's just harder than ever out there in healthcare and for nurses today. Once again, they are asked to do more with less. There are no easy patients in the hospitals anymore. Hospitals are becoming intensive care units. Nursing homes are becoming hospitals, and homes are becoming nursing homes. And so the work that nurses do today is just very hard and very intense, and God bless them. They deserve all the inspiration they can get.
So true. Please share with us your personal experience of being a nurse for over 30 years.
Oh, gosh, it's the best job in the whole world. the reason nursing is, and it's been such a blessing for me, and it is for so many men and women, is it's just an ideal career, especially for those of us who want to have and raise families besides. There's just so many different flexible opportunities. I started out, I was lucky to always work part-time, but I've worked in hospitals, I worked in clinics, I've been a school nurse. I would work, nights when I needed to for a while. I unique work, make the shifts around your family schedule sometimes. So there's just so much flexibility to a nursing career. And, if you don't like babies, you can work with geriatrics. And if you don't like people, you can work with paper. So just so many different callings that we can answer.
Very interesting. What is the most rewarding thing about being a nurse?
I wrote I dedicated this last book to nurses, and this is what I wrote, and I think this explains it to me. And I wrote, to all nurses who perhaps more than any other group on earth truly ease the suffering of the world.
I agree with that. How about the most challenging aspects of being a nurse?
You know, it's really hard. As I mentioned, there are no easy patients in hospitals anymore. It's very, very intense. It has been, the healthcare changes have been good in some ways. It's been really, really hard on nurses in hospitals. They have high patient loads. They have really, really sick people to care for. Sometimes we have so many demands on us that nurses don't have the time to sit with patients like we used to, so we can minister from our hearts as well as from our hands. We've gotten really high tech, and it's frustrating some days if we don't have all the time and the resources to also be high touch. So that's one of the hardest parts about it, I think, today. It's just, it's a very intense workload. Very, very worth it. Very worth it. It's just, it's hard work.
I can relate to that from the standpoint, I think the perception people have of nurses sometimes is not quite correct, because they're looking at nurses as being someone that's supposed to give a lot, but yet in their mind are not giving a whole lot. But unless they truly experience themselves being admitted or being in the facility where they need the nursing assistance, they really don't truly appreciate what a nurse do every day.
I think that's true. They just don't have knowledge about that. And you know, the media and the television shows and all that stuff does not exactly depict nursing so accurately either. So people don't always know, you know, what it's like until you experience it firsthand yourself.
Precisely.
Or with a family member or friend.
Precisely. It's true. Is there a shortage of nurses in the U.S.?
There definitely is a shortage in some areas, and in other areas not so much right now. As a matter of fact, I just had an event in rural South Dakota 2 days ago, and they have a tremendous nursing shortage in rural areas in that part of the country. Now in the major cities, they have less so. And there's some sort of a false belief out there that really there really isn't a nursing shortage, because sometimes new graduates are not finding a job right away. But the truth is, we are facing a nursing shortage of crisis proportion in this country, and that's not an overstatement. Mm-hmm. The average age of the nurse today is 48, and they are going to be, within the next 10 years, we are going to have a mass exodus of the baby boomer nurses. And we do not have nearly enough nurses to replace them. The estimates are anywhere you'll read between a quarter and a half a million nurses short within the next 10 years.
That's a huge number.
It's a very huge number. And forward-thinking hospitals and clinics and organizations are anticipating that now and trying to, you know, look at how they're going to be able to hire more nurses and the best nurses.
Ultimately, I say this respectfully, in the nursing industry, you do want to have someone that has been working for over a period of time, because nothing can substitute for experience on the job.
And that's very hard, isn't it, for the
the
new graduates who, you know, everybody wants to have somebody that has more experience. So it is a little harder for the new graduates. And yet, there are really good ways to start that way. I mean, and there are a lot of lots and lots of hospitals now that are hiring lots of new graduates, and they have what they call a residency program or a mentorship program where they are paired with a seasoned nurse for a year, so that they have that resource and that kind of support. So that's and they're able then to feel like that not only is that new nurse more qualified, they are more likely to stay in the profession and at that place of employment, knowing that they're getting the support they need and the education they want, because they want desperately to learn it all.
Right, right. What should someone consider thoroughly before pursuing a career in nursing?
I think the biggest thing is, nursing really is a calling. When you listen, I believe in listening to your deep inner voice and paying attention to, it really is a calling to serve. It's a wonderful, wonderful job. You have to have the heart for caring. And if you don't, then that's maybe not the profession for you. So that's the biggest thing to consider before, to make sure that it's a very benevolent, a very giving. You have to have a heart that really reaches out and a lot of compassion, yeah, to care for people. You know, it's a great job, and it's a decent income, and there's a lot of stability to it. And those are all good second points, but that shouldn't be the reason you enter the profession. You really have to feel like you're being called to serve.
So basically you're saying nursing is not for everyone.
No, it's not for everyone. It really isn't. But I think the people that know it's for them know that.
Right, right. It's important, too. People need to understand, especially in this particular vocation where you are dealing with people, you have to look at, you cannot be motivated by just the income side of the equation, because you have to look truly within yourself. Are you really a caring, nurturing individual? If you're not,
that's correct.
Skip this vocation. It's not for you.
There'll be other ways you can serve and other jobs you can have that are better suited. And we notice that just a little bit when, because of some of the television shows, I always joke that some nurses get into medicine and into hospitals and a little disappointed that it's not like the show ER. You know, it's not that exciting every day, and you're not making out with doctors in the utility room, and you really have to. And I advise everyone, you know, to look into the career and to shadow someone who's a nurse and spend a day with a nurse to see if that is your calling.
Right. So true. What are your thoughts about the recent situations and comments about nursing between Miss Colorado and the TV show The View?
Oh, gosh. That was one of the best things that's happened to nursing in a long time. Mm-hmm. Because what it really did was help to dispel so many myths. And I think no one expected for that to be the reaction. I think the comments that the few hosts on The View made perhaps revealed to us as a profession and to the general public how incorrectly nursing is perceived. Nurses were, you know, upset when they said, why would she wear a stethoscope as if she were a doctor? Well, for heaven's sakes, nurses wear stethoscopes around their neck every day. It's what we do.
Right.
And
right.
Nurses do a lot of assessments and so forth. And personally, of course, I have admit my bias. Number one, I'm from Colorado, and so of course I love Miss Colorado. I love the fact that she's a nurse, and I loved the fact that she had the guts.
Mm-hmm.
She knew this would be it's controversial, and she says her biggest talent is caring and being a nurse. And I just think that made such a wonderful statement in itself. Mm-hmm. And then I think the misconceptions that were stated on The View just opened up a dialogue that was good for everybody, for the country and for nurses to be able to speak up and let people know what it is we do. So I thought it ended up being terrific. I was disappointed that the perception was so skewed. So that, of course, was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
And yet the resulting conversation has been, I think, just tremendous, even for the profession.
Right.
And for people to realize and for nurses to have the opportunity to speak up and say how much they love their jobs, how proud they are to do what they do, and to hear the general public hear from nurses themselves defending their careers and how much they, how passionate they are about what they do every day.
So true. The good news about what happened, like you said, is the fact that now you find out really what nursing is all about. The public does not know about what nurses do unless they encounter one. So whether that's in the ER or just a regular nursing home or even a doctor's office, that's their perception of a nurse.
Right. And I don't think it, people in the general public, if I were not a nurse, I wouldn't know either. The tremendous training that nurses have and their assessment of patients. We know when you think about it, the doctor comes into the room for maybe 10 minutes a day and nurses are caring for that person and doing assessments on them and paying attention to their health and their care, and it's up to him or her to report to the doctor the other 23 hours and 50 minutes of how that patient is doing. And it's highly skilled. And nurses are becoming even more highly skilled with the changes in healthcare today. We have more and more nurse practitioners, and these are women who have their, many of them even have a doctorate in nursing, so that they can do treatments, you know, and work in clinics without the supervision of a physician in many states, because that's how qualified nurses are. And that, again, speaks to the breadth of this career.
Right. So true. Did you learn something special from reading all the amazing stories the various people and nurses submitted for this wonderful book?
You know, I learned something from every book. And when we were doing the third edition of this book, I really wondered, can the nurses do it again? People used to ask me, which is better, the first book or the second book for nurses? And I would say every time, honestly, they are equally as great. I didn't believe the nurses could send me 2,000 great stories for a second book.
Yeah.
And by Jiminy, the nurses did it again. They just sent me some of the most tremendous stories. And what I learned again was just the passion that nurses have and the hearts that they have for what they do and the love of what they do. And their call to service is just inspiring for me.
I believe this book is a wonderful book that gives the nurses and people that have run-ins with the nurses an opportunity to really speak about the profession and to get a first-hand look into what being a nurse is all about. The stories in there, they're from people that actually receive the caregiving from nurses that have changed their mind and perception about what nursing is all about. So you have a wonderful blend that truly can motivate the nurses in their own profession, as well as giving the general public the opportunity to really have an inside look of what actually is going on with the profession.
Yeah, so true. And the interesting thing for me has been how many non-nursing, non-healthcare people are buying and loving this book, because it's about caring for people and about caring for patients. And there's no one who has not been a patient at some point in time in their life, if not in a hospital, certainly cared for by the medical profession. And so it's really been fun for me to see how many non-nursing people love these inspirational stories of hope and healing.
Right. So true. What would you like for the readers to gain from reading this wonderful book?
I think probably, as we said, understanding of the profession and those two words I just said, that every chicken soup book has, every story has some hope. And this book has just so many stories of not only hope, but healing of mind, body, and spirit for people. And that's, I think, the gift that the book brings.
I have selected several stories from the book as talking points for this morning. Please give us a short rundown of these stories. They're wonderful stories. They're total 10 chapters in the book, and I picked up some stories that I thought was just very special. All the stories are wonderful, but these are stories that sort of resonate within me in my experience. The very first chapter, it's titled The True Meaning of Nursing. The story that I picked is What Does Your Mom Do? By Craig Baker.
That was a fun story. It was as a kid, he says, you know, if people always ask you, what does your mom do or what does your dad do? And it's easy when you can say a fireman or a social worker or whatever. And he never really knew what to say, what his mom did, because he didn't have a very good understanding of nurses. And she was an on-call supervisor. And one night she was called into work and left him in the emergency room while she went to deal with an emergency there, and she left him in the waiting room where he was safe, and there was a tattooed, rough-looking young man there that this little boy engaged in conversation, as 10-year-old boys do. And the guy was reluctant to talk with him, but the boy just kept persisting. And finally he said, "Why are you here?" And he said, "My buddy's been shot." And as he started talking with the guy more, they found out they had a couple things in common and even liked the same music and so forth. And when his mom came out and he introduced him to this rough looking guy, and as he went home with his mom, he said he had, for the first time, he knew that maybe his mom was actually taking care of this guy's buddy who'd been shot. And he said, and if not my mom, then at least I know another nurse. And that's what my mom does, and that's what nurses do. They, you know, they care for those kind of, they care for those people. And he said, you know, then in a flash I knew that my mom was a real-life superhero in Scrubs, you know, that she was a nurse and she was a healer. She was a caretaker. And so it was a revelation. Now he knew. That answered his question, what does your mom do?
What I love about the story also is the fact that I remember where parents bring their kids in for a day, for career day and so forth, to kind of let the child understand what you really do. I think
right. In
this particular situation, of course, it's not necessarily designed that way, but it just happens by luck that he went in to see what his mom do. And children, by nature, we don't really, oh, yeah, well, my mom is a doctor, my mom is a nurse, my mom is this, my mom is that. You really don't have a sense of appreciation of what your mom really do or your dad really do. This story, for the first time, coming from a child's side of the equation, obviously it made an impression on him that, wow, I didn't realize what my mom actually do.
That's right. That's right. And then he had a better understanding. That was great.
Right, right. The next story in the same chapter that I picked is I Understand by Mary Clary.
That was a favorite of mine because she's a retired nurse who felt like she still had more to give. And when she told some of her other fellow friends and colleagues and fellow nurses that she wanted to volunteer as a nurse, they thought the first line in the story says, "Are you crazy? you just left this profession. Why would you go back?" But as I said earlier, I mean, nursing really is a calling, and she knew she wanted to give more. And actually, there's an organization for retired nurses to go in and serve. And as you know, in this wonderful story, they asked her to go take care of a grumpy old man who was pretty disappointed he didn't get to go home that day. And this wonderful nurse was able to give him all the TLC, the tender loving care, with the bath and the soaking his feet and bringing him tea and doing all those little special touches. And in his grumpiness, he would say, "The blankets are too heavy," and she would take the blanket off and cover my feet. And she covered his feet. And then she said, "Would you like me to rub your feet with some nice warm oil?" And she did. And at the end of the story, he said, "How can I reach you?" And interesting, he said, "You understand me a lot better than other people do."
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and how she didn't even have much of a conversation with him, but by her gentle touch, he knew that you understand me more. And she ends by saying, "The volunteer nursing is the best job I've ever had."
Right, right. What I got from that story, this is a unique experience, because when you're on the job, like you're talking about earlier in the show, when it's all said and done, you have to meet your obligations. You got to run over here, you got to run over there, you got to run over somewhere else to get things done. As much as the connections that you really want to make are, you know, coming in and doing everything you can, but you just really cannot build that relationship. On the other hand, as a volunteer nurse, all of a sudden right now, the dynamics change. What happened to Mary was she kind of truly like, wow, this is what it's all about. You kind of like went back to school and made better grades, for lack of a better term.
That's right. That's a good way to say it. That's exactly right.
Yeah. The next chapter, Defining Moments. This is a wonderful chapter as well. The first story that I selected is Change of Heart by Barbara Brady.
You know, that story represents, I think, a lot of what nurses sometimes feel and go through. I had the same experience myself. She was a PACU nurse, and that's a post-anesthesia critical care unit nurse. And so she had a very intense job taking care of really critically ill patients and loved it, loved her colleagues. She loved the importance of her role as a critical care nurse. And when she had to move with her husband's change of jobs, the only job she could find was in a continuing care center. Some people would call that a nursing home. And she was pretty disappointed. She was going to keep watching for ads in the newspaper so she could have a better career plan. But and she had some really preconceived ideas about what working in a nursing home would be like. And yet when she got there, she was so impressed with the staff and the care, and she found that some of the nurses were very highly qualified. They had degrees in nursing geriatrics, and she said that, you know, that it, all of these things, it was more evidence that blew holes in my preconceived notion that what special care nurses have to give in nursing home and how many of your nursing skills you still use working with people in an extended care facility. And she knew then that when one of the patients left and pulled her close and said, "You have been good to me and I will miss you," she was struggling back tears herself. And she said she quit checking the want ads in the newspapers and looking for another job because she knew she was exactly where she belonged. And her last line was, "Because my career plan had been fulfilled."
Right.
It was right where she was called to be. And I think I learned that myself as a nurse. I worked as a temp nurse for a while. And I thought, too, that I love old people. I just knew that I wouldn't be challenged enough working in a nursing home. And, oh, my goodness, I not only loved the residents, but I learned so much. I mean, most of them have a lot of ailments. And so I learned a lot about, medicine and care and treatments. And I was able to minister from a high-tech and a high-touch place working in an extended care facility.
Right. Well, what's interesting about this, Leanne, is that for the first time, as you had mentioned earlier, the healthcare industry has changed tremendously. It has expanded. Now you have situations where you have homes like this that truly are almost like a hospital.
That's right. That is exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Nursing homes now have a much higher demand for the type of quality of care.
Right. They require a very specialized area of nursing. To Barbara's surprise, seeing the highly qualified staff that they have.
Right, just like she was a specialist in critical care, these were specialists in geriatric care. And that's another great thing about nurses is you can really get there have certifications that nurses take to be certified in certain areas. And so you can take courses to be a certified geriatric nurse, as you can a pediatric or family practice or that kind of thing. So you're right. I think she said in her story she was very surprised how educated and how highly qualified they were to work in this privileged position.
Yeah, so true. The next story in Defining Moments, the beautiful story, Bobby by Debbie Sister.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories of all. Of course, I wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, a book of miracles and answered prayers. And so, you know, I believe in all of that. And most nurses have witnessed things. And this nurse, it was a very, very touching story. She was working in pediatrics, and this little boy was actually pretty physically deformed. He had great big head and chest and toothpick-like arms and legs. And he had a lot of illness, and they knew that he would not live long, and yet he was the sharpest, funniest, fun little boy, and she would pull him around the unit in a wagon, and she just loved Bobby so much, and she would say one day that she was going to, he said, "Yeah, you need to give me a bath tonight because I'm going home tomorrow, and I get to see my brother," and she said, "Okay, now wash me extra clean," he said, "because I'm going home tomorrow, I get to see my brother." And he repeated it a third time, and she said, "If I bathe you anymore, you're going to slip right out of this bed," she said, because, and he said, it's got to be, he said, "Don't miss a spot." He said, "I have to be real clean tomorrow when I see my brother." And as it went on, she said, Bobby did go home because he died shortly after his mom arrived the next morning. And she was comforting the mom. Even though the mother had expected this, of course, her heart was just broken. And the nurse said, "You know, I'm just sorry I didn't get to see his brother again because he talked so much about going home to see him." And the mom, with tears in her eyes, looked so puzzled. And she said, I had another son years before Bobby was born, but he died at birth, and I never told anyone. I never told Bobby. But she smiled through tears and said,
yeah.
Somehow, Bobby knew. He was going home to meet his brother.
I picked this story because you have a situation here where it's always about nurse giving, and now you have a patient somehow, somewhere. If you look deep enough, it's giving back the stories, the situation that is interesting to whereby this is one of the rewards of, to me, I'm not a nurse, of course, but I feel like if I am Debbie, this is a wonderful gift that I receive.
And you'll find so many stories like that in this book, and nurses will tell you that. That's why we keep doing what we do. We give and give and give and give, and yet almost with every patient we get something back.
Right.
We get a blessing, right. and they bless us back.
Wonderful. The next chapter is titled A Calling. The story is Living the Dream by Annette Butzban.
You know, a lot of people relate to this story because this applies so much to some of the nurses entering our profession today. This
right.
was a gal wrote the story that she was married at 17 and had three little boys, and she always dreamed of having a career or something else. But what could she do? I mean, she has three little boys and she was a dedicated mama, and yet she always dreamed of having a different career. And she started looking into want ads, and that nursing caught her mind and tugged at her heart. And her wonderful mom said, you know, I'll live in town. I'll watch the kids while you go to nursing school. And indeed, she did. And at the end of the story, she writes that, you know, she just often puts her head on the pillow at the end of the day, and she realized that her dream had come true. Now she was really living her dream. And she used to have dreams of being a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And now she realized as she drifted off to sleep that her dream had come true.
It's a beautiful story because you're right about the fact that this story really applies to a lot of people today. And when you look at it, it's never too late. If you want it, it's from the heart. If this is what you think you can do, if you have that compassionate, nurturing heart, you're a people person. If you want to pursue this as a career, this is a wonderful story to read.
And it's always surprising to me because I'm so blessed now. I get to talk to nurses full time and meet and communicate with thousands of them in a year.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me how many people are becoming nurses in their 40s.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. Policemen, firemen, and
yeah.
there's stories in here of a man. There's another story in here about a man who knew that he was supposed to be a nurse. It was a calling him, and so it really is a great second career option.
Right.
Some people say,
right.
you know, I'm too old. I'm too old to go to school and be a nurse now. And it reminds me of a Dear Abby column I read, gosh, 30 or 40 years ago. And he said, you know, if I go to nursing school, I'll be 50 years old when I graduate.
Right.
And in 10 years. And she said, how old will you be in 10 years if you don't go to nursing school? You're still
right.
going to be 50 years old. Why didn't you go live your dream? You know,
right.
you're still
right.
going to be 50 years old in 10 years. You can go to nursing school. And that's one thing I would love to make a point of,
yeah.
you know, to all of your listeners is there are nursing programs that are 1 year long, that is a licensed practical
mm-hmm.
nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And while they have limited, more limited employment opportunities, you can be an associate degree nurse in 2 years at a
mm-hmm.
community college. And then you can go on and become a bachelor's or a master's prepared. So there's all sorts of entry levels of education. So many people who go back to get a second career start by getting that two-year associate degree.
Right, right. I'm sure, Leanne, you understand this as well. You can build your nursing career layer by layer.
Exactly right. Exactly
yeah.
right. I have a niece who's a single mom, and
mm-hmm.
And she had gone to school for landscaping and gardening and loved that. And she felt the calling to be a nurse. And
mm-hmm.
and she did to be a mom and go to school. She started first at being an LPN. And then she went to second year and she got her associate degree, which does give you more opportunities because then you are an RN, a registered nurse. And
right.
bless her heart now, she is going to school part-time while she's working full-time and she's getting her bachelor's degree. So you can continue your career while you're working in your career. And many,
right.
many hospitals have tuition reimbursement programs so that if you're employed there, they'll help pay your education
right.
funds. Which
right.
is pretty tremendous.
So true. What's unique about approaching your career layer by layer is the fact that you are actually well ahead of everybody else simply because along the way of learning the academic side, you are also having the wonderful learning side of the experiential side because you are there
exactly.
every day at work.
Such a good point. As
yeah.
you mentioned earlier, Johnny, that, you know, then you don't, when you graduate, you are not an inexperienced nurse. You know,
Besides.
You are working and getting your education and your experience simultaneously.
Right. This next chapter is titled Lessons. This is a wonderful story, and it is from a patient rather than a nurse. And I thought this was wonderful. Not ICU by Jill Burns.
Right. This woman got sick and she went to the emergency room and they had to put her on some heart medication and they told her that we're going to have to put you in intensive care. And she said, oh, no, not ICU. She'd had an intensive care experience years before and she found those nurses to be rather cool, somewhat abrupt, not as tender as she had wanted. She thought the whole unit was cold and very busy. And the nurse then had said, and this always makes me a little sad, to hear what the nurse would say. You know, it takes a special kind of nurse to work in intensive care. You have to be a little aloof in order to not break your heart working in a place like this. And so
yeah.
her intensive care experience had not been warm and positive. So you can understand then why she was so hesitant to go to ICU. She just begged the doctor, please don't make me go there. And when she got there, she was shocked that the nurses greeted her with a smile. They came to her bedside. They welcomed her. They gave her tender, loving care. And even in the middle of the night, a nurse came to her and listened as she talked about her fears. And the nurse understood and gave her that reassurance. And the nurse said, you know, we're going to take really good care of you and call as often as you want. She says, I'm here for you. And later the next day, when she was discharged home, the nurses flocked around her as they wished her good luck and had her, hugged her goodbye even. And she said, those are very special souls who had watched over me. And I saw firsthand that working ICU does require a special kind of nurse. And indeed, that's what she found.
People don't really appreciate the work that nurses do unless they encounter one. So I just like the story because until you truly encounter one in your particular situation, then you realize that, wow, these people really do care and it's genuine. The interaction
right.
is genuine.
Right, exactly right. And remember that nurses are people too. And
right.
And they have various personality types and probably as people and humans, little flaws and challenges and as much as nurses try, and I encourage them always to, you know, we have to leave our problems at the door. We cannot take them on to work. But,
yeah.
you know, nurses have the same interpersonal things going on in their lives as other people do, and they're doing their best to leave that at the door and bring themselves whole and happy to the workplace. And yet it can be challenging on some days.
So true. The next chapter is Overcoming Obstacles. The story is In the Suite by and by.
Another nurse story, and so often with nurses, much of what we do is not on duty. That
right.
when you're a nurse, you're called by neighbors and patients and churchgoers and pals and family members, you know, call and tap your expertise. And her brother had asked her to come to the hospital because a matriarch from their childhood church was not doing well and their family needed some support. And when she got there, she could see that this older woman was probably really nearing the end of her life. And there was an order for do not resuscitate. And the hospice nurse was coming to give her the medications. And yet things were not going as well. And the hospice nurse hadn't arrived again just yet. And so this woman knew this matriarch of her church so well. And so this good nurse went and just started to sing. She said she closed the door so she wouldn't bother the other patients. And she sang songs of Because He Lives, and the last one was In the Sweet By and By. And she said as she finished the fourth hymn, the patient grew quiet and there was no more struggling to breathe, and she had peacefully left that old worn-out body. She said she opened the door to tell the nurses and was surprised to find all the staff standing right outside the door. And she said to the nurses, she passed. And the nurses said, we know. We could see it on the heart monitor, but it was so beautiful, we didn't want to interrupt it. And she said it was beautiful because we had sung her to heaven.
It's a beautiful story. Beautiful story.
And you can see how the nurses on that unit were blessed again, weren't they, by a patient or visitor or family member. And that's how nurses keep going, is when we get those blessings back.
So true. The next chapter is Divine Intervention, Being a Hospital Mom by Kathleen Jones.
That was a fun one, because this is another pediatric nurse story. You know, and some kids have chronic illnesses and they're in hospitals for a long time. And so you really get really close to them, especially in children's hospitals. And you have to be there for them when sometimes their family members are not. And this one nurse just loved this little boy so much. And a boy named Chris, he was handicapped, and she pulled him around in the wagon a lot too. And one day, as a little ornery little boy might do, he hid from her and she couldn't find him. So if you can imagine a nurse losing a patient for 20 minutes and she's about to call security when he pops out, surprise, you know, like a little boy would do. And she scolded him. She lost her temper. She said, I wasn't one of my proudest moments. She said, and she scolded him, don't you ever do that about you. I was so worried something might have happened to you. And that's when he said, well, you sound like my mom. Now you're my hospital mom. And so he always called her that throughout the rest of his ongoing hospitalizations. And he would call her the hospital mom. And she said one day he'd had a bone marrow transplant and he knew that it wasn't successful. And so he turned to his hospital mom and said, Jesus came to me and asked if I was ready to come to heaven. And she said, I tried not to look surprised. But I told Jesus I couldn't come right now because mama and grandma aren't ready, but I'll come soon.
Yeah.
And indeed, he did pass away. And she said that after he got weaker and weaker, and she sat at his side and held his hand. And she said, and I cried just like a mom.
This particular story tells a story about the nurses being human, the connection. It's very difficult because one of the things that we didn't talk about is somehow, sometimes in career and vocation like this, you have to have a little compartmentalized type of a personality, because if not, you can be torn down quite easily. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, I think about Mrs. Gowdy, my instructor in nursing school when I was 18 years old and a brand new nurse. Yeah. I'd never even worked as a nursing assistant, and I was a brand new nursing student. And what she taught us, and I remember this still today, the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Yeah.
And with sympathy, you step into their boots and you walk with them and you mourn with them.
Yeah.
And with empathy, you relate to it. And yet you have to just keep that little section of your heart from breaking. So you act with empathy and compassion, and yet you certainly cannot work in pediatrics and lose children and sustain your life if you don't have that little bit of a compartment, as you call it, that you save for yourself, that you can't let go there. Or it would break your heart too much every day to keep it up.
I'm sure that's a tough challenge that people don't talk about.
Not as much. That's exactly right.
Yeah. The next one, the beautiful story, Angels Among Us, the story is A Gift of Sun by Flora Desch.
Right. That was a person who admitted at the beginning of the story that she suffered from seasonal affective disorder. And you may have heard about how people who suffer from depression, sometimes in the fall when the there's less sunlight, they have more depression. And this person worked really hard to avoid that. And she spent a lot of time in the sun, and she kept her exercise, and she worked hard to avoid that from happening. And wouldn't you know, she was hospitalized. And she was terrified. She was very, very sick. She was having surgery to remove part of her liver, and it was cancerous, and she was afraid it was going to come back. She was just terrified. And when this wonderful, wonderful nurse came in, and the patient was pretty afraid and pretty angry, and the nurse said, "Is there anything else I can get for you?" And this patient quipped, "Yes, three things." She said, I need calm classical music. I want The Little Prince, a childhood favorite from when I was a little boy, a book from when I was a kid, and I need some sun. I need sun." And she was a little embarrassed that she had demanded this kind of thing, knowing, of course, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And the nurse came back with classical music and a recorder to play it for her. She had found the book, brought it into her, and moved her to a room with sunshine. And she says, "I keep that little book now, the book, The Little Prince, and every time I look at it, I remember the tremendous kindness that exists deep within the core of people like Nurse Mary Jean, a force so beautiful that it brought me the sun."
It's a wonderful story by a patient. Sometimes I know that majority, if not all, the patients that leave the caregiver are so thankful, but sometimes we don't hear about that. The nurses needs to hear about that. This particular book allows for the nurses to hear back, for lack of a better term, from their patient or their client, in this case.
You know, that's really true. And another message to all of your listeners, I often say a thank you note to a nurse will help him or her work another year. It doesn't take much.
That's beautiful.
A little thank you, just a thank you or a note. Well, it just, because nurses don't hear it a lot. It is their job, and people expect that from them.
Right.
So, and that's exactly right. That's why this book is such a beautiful gift for a nurse, because they are gifted then with realizing how grateful people are for all that they give and give and give and give.
This is something to receive back in return, the sense of genuine appreciation.
Right. That's right.
The next chapter is A Matter of Perspective, A Nurse Named Michael by Connie Pullen.
Yes. You know, and I think it's good to remember that 10% of nurses in this country are male, and that's a growing number, which is a wonderful thing. And this was a special story about a male nurse, a young male nurse. And again, this is written by a patient whose husband, Larry, had had numerous cancer operations and lots of cancerous treatments. And she was not ready to let him go. And she encouraged him, every time a new treatment came up, she encouraged him to take it. And then things did not look, it looked pretty bleak. In fact, there wasn't much more to offer than when the doctor said, "Well, there's one more, I think it might have even been experimental thing, that maybe there's an option. It's, I think I can get approval for a clinical trial, maybe with this new cancer-fighting drug." And of course, the wife squealed, "Of course, we'll try it." And when her husband just said, "Nope, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore." And she was heartbroken and a little angry that, "Why won't you keep fighting?" And he said, "I just can't. I just need to be done." And she was heartbroken and very sad and a little angry still. And then in comes this young male nurse. And she thought, of all things now, here they send me some young kid who's a man, a nurse who's not going to, you know, she was not happy about that. And this young nurse started talking to Larry, her husband. And as he did, he said, "I understand how you feel. And I understand that you don't want to live in pain anymore. And I know your family and friends want that for you, too. They know they'd rather spend quality time with you." And then he turned to make sure that the wife was listening. And he said, "You know, my grandpa died a few weeks ago from cancer. And the best decision we ever made was to go to hospice so his final days could be with comfort. And like you, he didn't want any more therapy to prolong his short life. He just wanted to have the best most comfortable life he could at the end. And he said, I hope you'll give hospice a call. And she said, no one had even suggested hospice to us before. And she said, now I know why. They knew.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I would be ready to hear that and that I
right.
wouldn't. And she said that young nurse speaking made her realize, as he talked about his grandpa, how her children and grandchildren felt. And she
mm-hmm.
said that young nurse really opened her eyes and her heart to understanding where her husband was coming from. And they
right.
did call in the hospice, and her husband did have the comfort that he needed on the
wow.
last days of his life. And she said she realized then that nurses heal sometimes by offering care and sometimes
right.
by modifying it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So true. What are some of your favorite stories?
Gosh, we've really gone through so some of my very favorite stories were yours indeed. You know, another one that comes to mind is about a male
yeah.
nurse who came into the room. A man had just learned, he was a young man, learned that his diabetes was going to require for his leg to be amputated. And even though he had little kids, he was weeping to his wife. And the nurse overheard him when he said, you know, I don't want to live. If I don't have a leg, I can't play ball with my kids. I can't do this. I don't know if I even want to live. And the male nurse had just carried in a stack of linen. And he apologized. He said, you know, I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I couldn't help it over here. He said, wait just a minute. And he walked into the bathroom and took a patient gown with him. And he came out, the nurse came out, wearing the patient gown. And below the hem of the gown were two artificial legs.
Mm-hmm.
And all he said was, motorcycle accident. I was 18, and I thought my life was over. And had if this not happened to me, I would not have gone to nursing school. And now I'm a nurse, and I ski, and I do this, and I have a full life, and I have a family. And I thought, and of course, that changed the man's mind completely, that he could do this. And that's the last line of the sentence is, I'm ready. You know I know I can do this. And I thought, you know,
right.
this is, maybe that's in the chapter called Beyond the Call of Duty, because look how the nurse exposed himself and revealed
right.
so much about himself in order to help the healing of a patient. And maybe that's the lesson I love people to take away is nurses heal mind,
mm-hmm.
body, and spirit. We're not just caregivers of the body, as in this story.
Yeah.
We care for and heal minds, bodies, and spirits.
Right. What's interesting also is not just the medicine. It's the psychology that goes with it. It's about human relationships. It's the meaning of life, that nature of love about interacting with one fellow human being and the other.
That's exactly right. That's what we do.
Where can someone go to get more information about you and keep up with your latest happenings?
You know, my website is my name, Leanne Thiemann, LeanNTheann.com. And on there is that has all my books, and it has my speaking, and it has my story. And that's the best way to learn more about me and the wonderful books that I've been blessed to write.
Wonderful. We are closing the show shortly. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, what would you like to share as a recipe for living for all our listeners this morning?
My recipe is exactly what I speak on. I talk about balancing life in your war zones. You don't have to be a part of Operation Baby Lift or rescue babies out of Vietnam. It's also what I just said that nurses bring to patients. And my recipe for life is for every person to care for their own bodies, minds, and spirits every day.
Wonderful.
Taking time to care for your physical, your mental, and your spiritual self.
That's beautiful. Leanne, thank you for the wonderful recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Marie Georgopoulos. She is an intuitive counselor, healer, and spiritual mentor. Marie will be hosting and conducting her bi-weekly Meditation for Moms series and talked about her Worldwide Consciousness Movement Meditation for Moms. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Leanne, it has been a true pleasure. Thank you again and have a blessed day.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.